The second part of my conversation with Gary Hensel picks up where we left off. We share numerous personal stories, explore the topic of quantum physics as it relates to our spiritual development, and we talk about some of our favorite books. This is a very personal conversation. I hope you'll enjoy it.
No, I agree. It's I talked to Mary Neal. I don't know if you know her story. Briefly, she's was an orthopedic surgeon, head of orthopedics at, I think it was USC, moved up to Jackson Hole with her husband, who was also an orthopedic surgeon. They went kayaking in Chile, and she drowned and died and had a near-death experience. Came back. And when I talked to her, I mean, it's just an amazing story on so many levels. But the thing that she said that just knocked my socks off was that she said that with her experience, she moved from hope to trust. And think about what a paradigm change that is in terms of how you look at life.
I like that. I had a very small near-death experience when I was quite young. And the one feeling that overwhelmed me was just in those moments, the beauty, the love. And it was like people talk about, there was like this really warm light. And as I came out of it, I kept wanting to go back to it. You know, that was the, it's almost like I wish everybody could experience that, because I think it does change you. It breaks down that barrier of fear, you know. Have you read Anita Morjatti?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the way she describes it is like you're in a giant warehouse and it's pitch black. And when we're here on Earth, all we can see is what our flashlight will show us, which is a tiny, tiny portion of all the energy and all the love and all the wisdom is. If we look at life that way, we realize that there are so many things that we cannot see, we don't understand, and that's okay. You don't have to be scared of it. And in other words, embrace it, embrace the beauty of it. So if anybody hasn't read her, I highly recommend her original book, which is her cancer story, is amazing. And I think it was Dr. Wayne Dyer heard of her story and told her that you need to write a book about this. And she did. And it's a beautiful book. And it explains a lot of that.
The other book I love is David McGinley's book. And I'm going to have to look up the title because I'm spacing out on the title. But he also wrote a remarkable book. And I may get this percentage wrong, but David made the comment that we only see, I think, this 0.0004% of the universe. Our view is so limited.
Yeah.
And that's astonishing. If you think about it, for me, I think it's kind of amazing. It's like, wow, what else is out there?
And that helps you understand. To me, I guess I just keep using the word beauty, that we can prove now through quantum physics that we are pure energy, that everything you can see and touch is energy. And the fact that you can see it or touch it means it's energy moving at a fast pace. And so when we start understanding that, I think you have less fear of death, less fear of minute things in your life. And when you can embrace that, then you move into the area where you understand like healthy love versus, you know, not so healthy love, that people are vibrating at a different level. I've always been the person, a kind of person that I can feel other people's energy. And again, just like my intuition, it's taken me years to trust that. I can walk into a room and feel, you know, a room full of people and feel all kinds of things, not always good. You know, it's kind of a gift and a curse at the same time, you know. It's one reason why I never have been able to sleep on an airplane. I see people just crash. I have this tube full of energy just all over the place, you know, good and bad, you know. But when you understand that, when you embrace that and you start trusting it, you can feel the kind of people you need to surround yourself. So I know now at this age that I need to surround myself with people who are vibrating at a high level.
Yeah.
You know, and we can, you know, this is quantum physics, you know? So it is real. And so if you're not familiar with the concept, so if somebody's vibrating at a very low level, that's fear, jealousy, anger, resentment, you know, all of those types of energies that we feel as humans, but, and even the most spiritual person is going to feel these at times. But as we start vibrating at a higher energy, we're more forgiving, more loving, more empathy, we more accepting. You know, it's not just about like, wow, you're really successful or you make a lot of money. That's not what the high vibration means. You know, there can be somebody that is financially successful and still vibrating at a very low level. They're the kind of person that would take advantage of people constantly and, you know, and stab people in the back and sabotage people. And they're really not happy at their core and they're not vibrating at a high level. And the opposite is true is somebody that has nothing. I was on a beach in Barbados once and I met a homeless man and I can't remember. He was selling something that this was a long time ago. He was selling something that he made by hand. He did, you know, he seemed like somebody that wanted to talk. So we sat alone, the two of us, like, you know, on some driftwood for a long time. And here's a man that had no money. People would consider him extremely unsuccessful or whatever. And he was one of the happiest people I'd ever met. And I could feel his spirituality. He really got it. He was just love and wisdom and happiness. And it was just a great feeling just to be sitting next to him, you know? And so there's people like that, you know, we don't necessarily need all kind of, matter of fact, we know these things aren't going to make us happy. You know, they can make our life more comfortable, but they're not, it's a different concept to be happy.
Yeah, no, I agree with you about the energy aspect of this. And I had a very interesting experience. It took me a long time to integrate this experience, as it does many people with NDEs. My experience was not an NDE, but I was in Delaware waiting to fly down to see my father who was dying in Florida. And I woke up at 2 or 3 in the morning out of a very deep sound sleep. And I had this overwhelming feeling of love and acceptance, unlike anything I have ever felt. And then I went back to sleep. The next morning, I found out that that was when my father had died and my ex-husband at the exact same time had the exact same experience in Connecticut.
So your father had died at that moment. Huh? Yeah. I really believe that. I do. And to me, that's not all like woo-woo and stuff, you know, because I believe we are energy. And you can cut this part out if you want, because I can get as woo-woo as you want to go.
No, go for it. I mean, I went from being very linear and in finance to now I'm out there. So, you know, anything goes as far as I'm concerned.
So you are very analytical. Yeah. I have a theory that when you have like a psychic or intuitive or somebody like that, when they're legit, and I do believe there's people that are legit on this, what they're feeling is when, like, say your father died, I was talking about this earlier, you're still carrying his energy. So if you were to go to somebody who, and again, I think we all have these abilities. We just are scared to use them or don't understand them or haven't developed them. He's not seeing this ghost standing next to you of your father. He's picking up on the energy that's inside of you that is your father. And maybe that hopefully scares people less, because if they think it's this ghost, you know, then that's really stuff you have to try to accept and stuff. But no, he is a very in tune person, he or she, and they are feeling your energy. And at that moment, they're feeling your father that's within you. To me, that's easier to accept.
I find the concept of energy fascinating, and I think it occurs at all sorts of different levels or vibrations. One experience I had was I'm flying my sailplane, and the sailplane has winglets, you know, on the end, just like you see in a big commercial ship. And I'm up at about 17,000 feet or so over Tahoe one day, you know, beautiful blue and emerald water down below me, sun shining through the cockpit. I turn, I bank. That little winglet balances on a bubble of air, and I ride it up through the sky.
Wow.
So I'm riding this up through the sky, beautiful scene below, sun streaming through the canopy. It was a moment of absolute oneness, and it was eternal, if you've ever had those eternal moments. And I look at that, and it makes me suspect that there is an energy far beyond anything we can imagine. And it's pretty wonderful.
Absolutely. I love Tahoe. That's about as close to heaven as you're going to get. And I read a book once. I'm trying to remember the title. A man was dying of a brain tumor. He was actually a big high-level CEO. I'll try to remember the name. But he knew he had like so many months. So he chose to spend the final month or so in Lake Tahoe. You know, I think he had a second home there or something. And yeah, it's like, what a beautiful place, you know. But that place and another very spiritual place for me is Yosemite with all the waterfalls, you know. At any one time, there can be as many as 200 waterfalls in Yosemite, especially in the spring, you know, when the snow is melting and stuff. I do believe there's places like that. People say they have that in Sedona, you know, just a really good energy, a real, you know, visually beautiful, but also something else going on there too, you know. I'm trying to remember the name of that book because I would highly recommend it. It was just a beautiful book. I always give my books away. You know, I used to teach. And so when I would, I can read 200 books a year. You know, I love reading and that's how I learn. And so I don't have this huge library. When I taught, I used to constantly give students books, you know, to help them, you know. So, God, I wish you could remember that name. I'll try to remember it.
I found David's book. His book is Beyond Surviving, Cancer and Your Spiritual Journey. It's an incredible book.
Beyond Surviving.
Yeah, David McGinley, just an amazing book. He's an amazing person.
I recognize the name, so we'll see.
He's been really active. He's on a sectarian discipline or whatever pastor in Canada, and he works a lot with cancer patients. McGinley. But his story is way beyond cancer. It's a spiritual journey. It's a great book.
I'm going to check it out. I did come up with that title. I don't know the author, but it was called In the Gloaming.
In the Gloaming?
Yeah. And the gloaming is that the final moments when the sun is setting, you know, that like it's actually already set, but you still have light.
Yeah.
And that would make sense in his final days, you know, so, but it was just a fantastic book about life and living it. And, you know, and he didn't play the victim. He said, I'm going to live it, you know, every minute I have left, you know?
I think when it comes to illness, people take one of two tracks. Many people get stuck as victims. And I think the majority of people actually do, which I find just heartbreaking. But there are, for some people, it's a very spiritual turning point. And they really take the lesson to heart, whatever that lesson is they need to learn. And they do something with it. And one of the things that has fascinated me is, why do some people stay stuck? Why do some people get release and wisdom from these experiences? And how can you help the people that are stuck?
Yeah. Well, to the last question, you can't really help somebody who doesn't want to be helped, you know? I know it sounds cold, but that change, that growth really does have to come within, you know? Hopefully, like, let's say somebody reads one of my books and it helps them. But see, they were already there. They were searching. They were looking, or they wouldn't have clicked on buy, you know, on Amazon or something. You know what I mean? So a lot of times when you read a great book, a spiritual book, it's almost like the author's preaching to the choir, because that's the reason why you bought the book, because you're already in that energy field, in that zone. You're looking and you want to grow spiritually, you know. I'm going through something right now that is extremely difficult. And it involves, I have six children, and it involves one of my children. And I told my wife, the only way I'm going to get through this is to grow spiritually. The other alternative is extreme depression, you know, and sadness, and, you know, all those, you know, and that won't be good. And I don't know how many years I have left on this earth. I don't want to spend any more time depressed and hurting than I have to, you know? So again, that's that moment of decision. I either have to grow spiritually to handle and deal with this situation, or I can accept to be a victim and say, why me? There are several good authors. Carolyn Miss, you're probably familiar with. I think Debbie Ford used this term. But the concept was, why not you? You know, why not you? You know, why, like I got bit by a tick and didn't know it, you know, and you could say, why me? Why did this tiny little tick, you know, destroy my career, destroy my finances, you know, for a long time? Or like, well, somebody's going to get bit by that tick, you know. And again, this gets really deep, and a lot of people don't want to hear this, but I believe at some level you called it to yourself, that your soul, your spirit needed to grow. And I call it, like, you know, God or the universe had to shake you, you know. Like I could have still been teaching the last 10 years. I'm just teaching in a different format now, you know. If I would have stayed as a college professor, you know, my pension would have just got bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, but I probably wouldn't have grown as much spiritually. I would have continued to teach much of the same material, you know. And even though I taught business, I taught leadership, I developed my own courses, I taught creativity, things like that, I was more and more starting to sneak more spiritual, as much as I could get away with, you know. So you could tell I was done internally with a lot of the traditional business management type teaching. And I was moving more and more in that direction. But if I wouldn't have got sick, I wouldn't have written my last five books.
No, there's no rhyme or reason to some of it. Was it? I think it was Eric Hodgson said, rather than why is this happening to me, why is this happening for me? Yeah. And I think that that's a profound shift. And I think it's a very meaningful one in terms of trying to make sense of this soul journey that is life.
Absolutely. And I've used it in several of my books, the concept, in your darkest moments, in your most pain, your most grief, always look for the gift. Where is the gift in this? It's there. And sometimes it's really hard to find. Sometimes it's going to take a while to find it. But you said that shift, it changes you from being a victim into, okay, life's not going to look exactly like you thought it was or you had planned for, you know. It's going to look different. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be less happy.
No, and you only have one foot in that victim place and one foot moving forward for a while. It isn't an instant transition or anything. But over time, you start to realize that there's a new path here. And there could be some pretty interesting things along it.
Yeah. For instance, like I remember when Twitter first came out, and again, I was not a social media person at all. I still never post anything personal on any of my sites. And I had teenage students that were asking me, what is Twitter? You know? And even though I wasn't on, it was when it first came out, I understood because we were moving into what we called viral marketing. And that was a concept that I was trying to teach. So I told the students, if you want to understand Twitter, just think of it as viral marketing. So again, if I wouldn't have got sick, I wouldn't have had 140,000 followers, and I wouldn't be talking. I literally talk every day to people all over the world, people from Australia or India, Pakistan, Brazil, Russia. Every single day, I'm having conversations. You know, people say, oh, you're really helping me through a tough time, or I love the quote you just posted, or just, hi, Gary, how are you today? You know, and I physically met many people where I would communicate with them on social media for several years. A matter of fact, somebody I've been collaborating with is Dr. Beth Frates, who teaches at Harvard Medical School. And she started following me something like 5 years ago. She said I was one of the first persons she followed. So for several years, you know, we followed each other, and then we started, you know, communicating through social media a little bit. And a few years ago, she said, I'm coming down to where you live. How would you like to do like a workshop or a masterclass? And so we did. We held a masterclass called Thrive. And she was the medical professional, you know, and it was interesting because she's really a groundbreaker in healthy living, choices that you can make, you know, that help you stay healthy and stay strong. And of course, that leads into emotional and mental and everything else. And one of the participants, it was a great group. We had like a heart surgeon there, a brain surgeon, because of all her medical connections, people wanted to come because she actually was coming down because she was speaking at a medical convention. But somebody said, Beth's the doctor of the body and Gary's the doctor of the soul or something like that, you know? And we were getting ready to really rev that up and go all over the world with it. And then that's when COVID hit really hard.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago in February. Yeah. And we're still planning. You know, she still contacts me occasionally and says, can't wait till we can teach together again and stuff. So, again, that's I'd spoke in London once before the COVID. I went over there and received an award. And I ended up meeting like 10 people from all over the world that I had been following, communicating with on social media. A man from Singapore, Ross Swan, who runs a soulful spiritual podcast, and a woman from Cyprus that works with, she's a lawyer and works with sex trafficking, you know, to help that situation. A woman from India that was going into prisons and teaching the female prisoners how to sew and then selling their goods, you know, so they could learn skills and things like that. There was a woman in Mexico that is a tremendous female architect that's doing architectural work that's eco natural friendly, you know, all of these types. And there were so many more, all these people I knew, but had never physically met them before, you know. And I had a lot of people that have followed me on social media that live in England, and they took the drive 2, 3, 4 hours or on train or whatever it was just to come up to that little conference. And so again, it's a, you know, social media is like life. It can be really bad or it can be good. It's all what you choose it to be, you know. I never talk politics on social media. I never argue with people. If somebody says something mean, I ignore it. If they continue to do it, eventually I'll mute them or block them if I have to. I don't see any negativity on social media. It's all these beautiful people from all over the world that are doing beautiful things, like yourself, you know, people that are helping other people. And so I think it's a gift.
Yeah, my experience has been a lot like yours. I don't do anything political, anything nasty. I just try to push out some hopefully fun and entertaining and good news. And I have met amazing people from around the world. And when I first got into social media, this was my early 50s, I guess. And I thought, this is going to be terrible. I don't want to do this. You know, give me the garlic, give me the silver cross. This is not for me.
Yeah.
But it turned out I really have enjoyed it. And it's been just a wonderful way to connect with people.
Yeah, I spend a couple hours a day just, you know, posting things and responding to people and stuff. And it's a commitment. It takes away from my writing. But just like we were talking about these setbacks and stuff, I eventually embraced it and thought, this is somewhere life took me that I never thought I would be going. And it's just as important as my writing, because my writing is about touching people and helping them. And if my social media can do the same thing, it's just another avenue to do, you know, the same kind of concept.
For me, I like celebrating other people's stories, although I'm being forced to put a lot of myself into this book. So that'll be a very interesting
experience. I'm looking forward to it. I would love to, if you want me to preview it or anything like that, I would love to do that. You know, it can put a positive promotion for it or something like that. Oh, you know,
thank you. I will take you up on that, but that's very generous. I still have, my goal is to have my first good draft this spring, and I'm on track to do that. But as I go through it, I continue to learn, because I'm incorporating a lot of the excerpts, at least, or edited versions of a lot of the podcasts. And my guests are so amazing. I mean, I can't believe these people, the strength they have, the wisdom, the insight. It just blows me away.
Well, and you and I have been following each other for a while. And this is the first time we've actually spoken, face to face. And so that's beautiful. It's another great example, you know. And I love the work you're doing. You know, I think it's fantastic. Yeah.
I was meant to do this.
Huh?
I think I was meant to do this.
Good. And don't worry about your time frame on your book. You know what I mean? If it takes a little longer than you planned, that's okay. There's no, you know what I mean? And like people say, like, my first book I was working on for like 5 years, and people are like, you're never going to do that. I'm like, you know what? It wasn't really 5 years. At that point, it was like 55 years that I'd been working on that book, you know? And I could even put them out. I'm doing about one a year now, but I don't get hung up on dates or due dates or anything like that. I have to be in a really good place spiritually to write. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I can't get there for a month, you know, and too many, all the noise of life is taking over. And so a muse for me is reading spiritual stuff.
Yes.
Or listening to a podcast like yours, talking to other people. That's my muse. And so if I'm not writing as much as I want to, what I need to do is read more. That's what I tell myself, just read more, you know? Don't worry about your time frame.
No, I think it'll come together as it comes together. I've set up a routine where I meditate. I used to meditate for about 20 minutes. Now I'm meditating at least 30 minutes every morning. And I get up about an hour earlier than I typically do. And I'm finding that the quiet morning hours are my best.
Yes. And you're in a sunny, warm climate right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that makes a huge difference. If you live somewhere, I actually spent the first 50 years of my life in the Chicagoland area.
Too cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too gray.
even if you can handle all the snow and all the cold, my wife's there right now. It's supposed to be 10 degrees last night or something like that. Even if you can handle all that, it's the gray skies, especially in the wintertime, that you have one day a week that's sunny. I couldn't do that anymore. I was like, I'd done it for 50 years. And I had worked out in it, you know, in construction and stuff like that. And, you know, I shoveled enough snow, but I need sunshine. I realize that about myself. Some people it's not as important, but I need sunshine every single day.
I need sunshine too. When I lived in Pennsylvania, I categorized, I think it was 15 shades of gray in the sky. I'd be like, today's number 8.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when I came out west, I took a summer off and went off. It turned out to be more than a summer, but went west with my sailplane and I had kind of a real aviation adventure. But once I hit Boulder or, you know, the Eastern Range of Colorado, it was sunny every day and they had these enormous blue skies. And I knew at that point, there was just no going back.
Yeah. 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 I have some children that live in the Denver area and they get a ton of snow, sometimes up to 9 months a year. So I still not nude for that, but they have a lot of sunshine, you know, which you don't see in the Midwest and Pennsylvania, you know, and Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin. You know, you just don't, you know, there's not enough sunshine. So I paid my dues. And people always ask me, like, how do you stand the heat? Like, you know what? You don't have to shovel heat, you know? You don't have trouble driving when there's heat. You don't have school and businesses canceling. You know, you don't have white knuckle driving when it's hot out, you know.
And that's and why air conditioning, right?
Yeah. You go from your air conditioned house to your air conditioned car to your air conditioned store or doctor's office or whatever or work, you know. So yeah, it's not a big deal at all. And you have sunshine every day. I don't take it for granted. Even though I have a ton of it, I still don't take it for granted, you know.
If there were some words of wisdom or a wish that you could leave everybody with, what would it be?
Oh, coming out of my childhood, and it's taken me 60 years to get here, love yourself. And people think that sounds like narcissistic, but it's not what we're talking about. Believe in yourself, trust yourself, love yourself, know that you are worthy. You are worthy and everything is within you, you know, so that to me, that all encompasses in love yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.